Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Rick Warren. Kay and I and our family and all of our staff here at Daily Hope want to wish you and your family a very happy new year.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, we continue in a series called Transformed. In these lessons, Rick uncovers key principles found in God's Word that will completely transform our lives from the inside out in every area, including spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. Now, before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to Daily Hope. That means that all this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called How to Get Closer to God.
Now, I don't know where you are today. You may be way, 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 way far away. Maybe you haven't been in church in years and years and years. Or maybe you are a little bit closer. Or maybe you're a little bit closer. But maybe even you've just been distant for a week. And you've had one of those weeks and you just thought, you know, I really don't feel God's presence in my life. And yet we all long to be close to God. How do I get back to Him? You do these four things, okay? Write them down. This is the pathway back to spiritual transformation. Number one, I get fed up. That's the first. I get fed up with my life. I get fed up with my circumstance. I get fed up with the way I've been living. I just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I am not going to live this way anymore. I am too stressed out. I'm too lonely. I'm too depressed. I am overworked and busy, and I don't even like myself. Why would anybody like me? I don't even like me. I don't like the life I'm living right now. Now, let me just say this. Nothing is going to happen in your life in the next 7 weeks until first you get dissatisfied with the way you are. If you think, man, it's fine. I'm just fine. I don't need any change in my life. Then you know what? You can sit out the next 7 weeks. Because nothing's going to happen in your life until you decide, I don't like this. I'm tired of being stressed out all the time. I'm tired of being frustrated all the time. I'm tired of being overworked all the time. I'm tired of feeling distant from God. You got to get desperate. You got to get hungry. You've got to get anxious for change. Nothing happens until you get fed up. In that passage in Scripture, it says this: He wasted it all. He had nothing left. He got desperate and hungry, and he finally came to his senses. And that's where transformation starts. Are you there yet? If not, it's okay. God will just let you stay there. And He'll allow a little rain in your life. And if that doesn't work, He'll allow a little bit more in your life. And if that doesn't work, He'll send a storm. Why? Because God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to let you stay that way. He will not let you waste your life. And when God, wants to come and get our attention, He comes and he knocks on the door. And if we ignore it, He just knocks on the door again. And then if we ignore it, He knocks on the door again. And if we ignore it, He blows the door down. Some of you have had the door blown down in your life. And you've lost your job. Or you lost your marriage. Or you lost a friend. You lost something. Why? Because God does everything He does in your life out of love. He does not want you to miss Him, and He does not want you to waste your life. It's, you know, the old phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you can salt his oats. make him thirsty. God often makes you thirsty by putting salt in your oats. And when you start saying, I'm just so unsatisfied with my life. I just don't like the way I'm living. I don't like this. Hello, that's God knocking on your door. The first step in transformation is for you to get disgusted, to get discontent, to get fed up with the way you're living. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says this. God says, you will find me when you get serious about finding me, and you want it more than anything else. See, God's not going to reveal himself if I just kind of want to do it on the casual. It's kind of a part-time hobby. I got to get fed up with the way I'm living. Say, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be a better way to live than this. There's got to be a saner way to live than this. You get fed up. Second step, you own up. First, I get fed up. Second, I own up. I own up to my own sin. I own up to my own sin. That's the second thing that this young man did. First, he got fed up, but then in verse 17 and 18, it says, when he came to his senses, circle that, he goes, this is nuts. This is nonsense. This is crazy. I can't maintain this lifestyle I've been living right now. It's just not sustainable. It's not fulfilling, and it's not sustainable. When he came to his senses, and that is, you know, he wakes up. You see, to live without God is insane. To live without God does not make sense. To live without God is not rational. To live without the Creator who made you is not logical. It doesn't make sense. When he came to his senses, he said, I have sinned against God and you. And nothing's going to happen till you come to stage two. And stage two is you go, all right, I just need to own up here. I need to face up to the fact that I have been not living God's way. I've been living my way. I've been doing it my way. I've been doing it the way I think is best. I've been doing it the way that protects all my fears. I've been doing it the way that tries to control everything around me. Even though I know I can't control it, I'm still trying to control it all. And I'm getting tired of holding on to all of the controls. I'm about ready to resign as general manager of the universe because I've noticed it isn't cooperating with me.
Thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We've got some incredible news to share with you. A very generous friend has given a $100,000 matching grant to this ministry. All this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus around the world will be matched up to $100,000. So $25 becomes $50, $50 becomes $100, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever you give will be doubled by the matching grant up to $100,000, but only till midnight December 31st. So please contact us today. Go to PastorRick.com or just call 800-600-5004.
If you want to make your time in prayer the best it can be, then you're going to want to get a copy of the brand new 2021 Daily Hope Prayer Journal. This year's theme, God's Great Adventure for You, will help you tap into God's power and presence when you learn how to pray with passion and purpose. Covered in soft vegan leather with full color pages, this prayer journal has sections to pray for specific people and situations, as well as space to express your gratitude and personal prayer requests to God. Each page is beautifully designed and filled with inspiring Bible verses, photos, and artwork. The God's Great Adventure for You Prayer Journal is a spiritual growth tool designed to help you enjoy a vibrant prayer life, connect with God, and establish a consistent daily prayer time. When you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world, we'll send you the all-new 2021 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to get your prayer journal and have your gift matched up to $100,000. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to have your gift matched up to $100,000 and to receive your very special prayer journal thank you gift. So please contact us right away.
Once again, here's Rick.
To live without God is not rational. To live without the Creator who made you is not logical. It doesn't make sense. When he came to his senses, he said, I have sinned against God and you. And nothing's going to happen till you come to stage two. And stage two is you go, all right, I just need to own up here. I need to face up to the fact that I have been not living God's way. I've been living my way. I've been doing it my way. I've been doing it the way I think is best. I've been doing it the way that protects all my fears. I've been doing it the way that tries to control everything around me. Even though I know I can't control it, I'm still trying to control it all. And I'm getting tired of holding on to all of the controls. I'm about ready to resign as general manager of the universe because I've noticed it isn't cooperating with me. And so I own up. And what do I own up to? I own up to my sin. When he came to his senses, he said, I have sinned. Now in Isaiah 59 verse 2, there in your outline, the Bible says this. It's your sins. Your sins have separated you from your God and have hidden his face from you. Have you ever prayed and you felt like God was a million miles away? Have you ever prayed and felt like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling? Have you ever prayed and felt like there's just like this veil between me and God? I can't see God. I can't hear God. I can't feel God. And I feel like I'm just talking to myself. Where does that come from? Your sins have separated you from your God and have hidden his face from you. That's where it comes from. It comes from your sin. I sent out on Facebook and Twitter, I said, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? God hasn't moved. God didn't move. God didn't go on vacation. God didn't move away to a foreign country. God has always been there, and he has never not been there. And he loves you unconditionally. But if you feel far from God, you're the one who moved. And you moved away by giving your love to something else. When you give anything else your love, there's a word for that in the Bible. It's called an idol. Now, we think idols are like these little stone things that people bow down to and worship. No. An idol can look like your car. An idol can look like your job. An idol could be a dress. An idol could be the way you look. Anything that you love more than God becomes an idol. The first and second commandments say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any false idols. Money can be an idol. Success can be an idol. Golf can be an idol. These are not bad things. They're just not deserving of first place in your life. So I own up to my sin. Your sins have separated you from your God. The fact is this, you're as close to God as you choose to be. You can't really blame anybody else. You can't blame your husband. You can't blame your wife. You can't blame your mom, your dad, the brother. You can't blame the government. You can't blame other people. I said last week you spell blame, be lame, and that's being lame when you blame other people for your spiritual condition. Well, if my husband were a more dedicated believer, really? Well, if my girlfriend was more on fire for Christ, really? You are as close to God as you choose to be. And the fact is, you haven't been desperate. You haven't been fed up enough to say, I am desperate to know God. If I were to hold you underwater, you would struggle. But when you really started running out of breath, you would really struggle. Because you would be desperate for air. When you're that desperate, you don't just get fed up. You own up. And you say, I've got to know God. You're as close to God as you choose to be. Now, when I own up and I say, God, I've blown it. I've been going my way. I've not been doing your way. I've been going my way. I've been doing what I want to do. When I do that, What is God's response to my facing up to my sin? He goes, yeah, and let me tell you what else you're doing wrong. No, he doesn't rub it in. When I come and I say, God, I've really, you know what I've done. I'm really sorry. What does he do? Well, look at the next verse. Here's the prayer you should pray. Psalm 51. By the way, David prayed this prayer after he'd committed adultery and killed a wife's husband. So this is a pretty serious sin here. Psalm 51, 1-4, David says this, be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love. Because of your great mercy, wipe away my sin. Wash away all my evil and make me clean. I recognize my faults and I'm conscious that I have sinned against you. I want you to circle the phrase, recognize my faults. That means to own up. I face up to my sins. I own up to my sins. He says, I recognize my fault. And what is God's response when I own up, when I face up? Look at the next verse. The Lord says, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you clean as freshly driven snow. Isn't that a beautiful verse? He says, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've done it with, I can remove it. This is the OxyClean verse of the Bible. Okay? He said, man, I can take it out. You know that stain, you think, man, I'm never going to forget that one. Man, that was so bad. And it's going to haunt me the rest of my life. God says, I can remove that stain. This is the stain remover verse in the Bible. Now, this next week, you're going to study 7 habits for spiritual growth. But I want to give you 2 more today. Okay, I'm going to give you 2 more. You're going to study 7 habits for spiritual health and spiritual growth. But let me give you 2 more. And the first one goes with this point, and it's this. Is you want to develop the habit of a regular spiritual checkup. Now, doctors will tell you that every so often you need to go and get a checkup. And you need to have your heart checked every so often, and you need to have your colon checked every so often. That's a fun one. Anybody want to give a testimony on that right now? Okay, anybody have a personal story from this week? Yeah, okay. But you have to get regular checkups. Why? Because if something's growing wrong in your body, you want to know sooner, not later, right? And the same is true with your life. If sin starts growing in you, it can become a cancer. It's better to nip it in the bud, like Barney Fife would say, before it gets really big. You gotta do this spiritual checkup on a regular basis. And where do you do it? You do it in your thought life. It's a checkup from the neck up. And you got to think about your thoughts.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. In just a moment, Rick is going to tell you about a recent $100,000 matching grant from a very generous listener. But first, he's going to share with us how God has been using your financial gifts to help us share Christ with people around the world. Here's Rick.
Hi, friends. Would it surprise you to know that there are entire groups of people who have never heard about Jesus still in our world today? I'm talking about the small tribes of less than 100,000 people in many, many distant places who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. That means there's not a single Christian among them. There is no church. They have no Bible. There is no believer. Can you imagine that? Would you help me reach these unreached, unengaged people? You know, one of the reasons I started Daily Hope was to find partners who would help us take the hope of the good news, of the gospel, to the whole world, to the final frontier, these unreached, unengaged tribes. Jesus wants us to witness to all nations and to all people. He never made a person he didn't love. He never made a person he didn't want saved. And Jesus died so that all may be saved. But people can't follow Jesus if they've never heard about him. And they've never heard of God's grace, how can they receive it?
So I'm asking you to help me in this finishing the task project. Thank you for your support. You know, Daily Hope is now reaching over 34 million people each month through Daily Hope audio teachings and our email devotionals. But we're only able to do this because of your partnership with Daily Hope. We're working together to help us fulfill the Great Commission. Imagine when you get to heaven, somebody comes up to you and says, I just want to thank you. I'm here because you cared enough for someone like me. You prayed and you gave and you shared and you sacrificed, and I'm in heaven because of you. Will that be worth it? Even as we rejoice in the success, we need to remember that there's still billions of people who need to know Jesus. And we got to keep going. So I'm asking you prayerfully to consider giving the biggest gift you've ever given or that you can give before the end of this year. As I said, there are still about 3,000 unreached people groups that have either few or no believers in them. We've been able to reach about 600 of those tribes, making sure there's a Christian living among them who speaks their language and can help them understand the Bible. But that's just the first step. The truth is, an unreached people group isn't considered reached until it has a healthy church, a body of Christ, that's able to plant new churches within that group. So to help that happen, we're working on translating spiritual growth tools into about 200 new languages for people who have virtually no Christian resources available. Think of all the Christian books you could buy at Christmas this year. Think of all the books you could pass on at birthdays. These are so available in English, but we need to translate them in all the other languages. These translations are strategic, that we've selected ones to share the gospel and to help disciple new believers where it is most needed right now. Now, these resources are also going to help young pastors grow and train others to build the church in their nations and in their groups. Now, we've made a lot of good progress. Well, we got a lot of work ahead of us in this task, and it is a monumental vision. I can't do this by myself. I need your help. It's a timely vision. It's a global vision, but every vision, listen, requires provision. Honestly, we wouldn't be able to do any of this vision without you. And that's why I cannot fully express how much I appreciate your financial support of Daily Hope. You know, I don't take a salary in this. This is all a ministry of love. And all of these funds are going to help reach more people. Now, let me give you some exciting news. A generous friend of Daily Hope has offered a $100,000 matching grant so that any gift you give by December 31st this year will be doubled up to $100,000. That means every dollar you give to Daily Hope between now and the end of the year will be doubled. Would you please prayerfully consider how you can give today, how you can reach more people for Jesus in the coming year? And please, while you're at it, pray that I will faithfully teach God's word in a way that will penetrate hearts. Pray for our Daily Hope team as they coordinate our outreach. And most of all, pray for the people we're trying to reach, that their hearts will be prepared to hear the message of the good news of Christ, and that they will come to know the grace of God and grow and mature in their Christian faith. You have a part of the most important task in history. Now, my prayer for you is that God's going to bless you throughout this coming year, and that he will bless you so much that you can be a blessing to others. You know, we're blessed to be a blessing. And my prayer is that he will draw you closer and closer to him. God bless you.
Remember, as Rick just shared, whatever you give today will be doubled by the matching grant up to $100,000, but only till midnight tonight. Anything not matched will be lost. So please contact us today. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to have your gift matched up to $100,000, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.